Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Tuesday, the 12th of April, 2011. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KJLL and always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We are live weekday mornings from 9 to 10, then the program re-airs from 7 to 8 in the evening. The lineup for today's show includes our leadoff newsmaker interview with the newly appointed head of the Tucson Chamber of Commerce. Then we're going to be talking about energy healing. At the bottom of the hour, we talk nutrition with Jack Challum. He is the nutrition reporter and the Buckmaster Show contributor on nutrition. We close out the show with an update on the future of the Tucson International Airport. The Buckmaster Show is primarily an interview-driven talk show, but of course, there is always room for listener comments and questions. Call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 529-3508. Well, the Board of Directors of the Tucson Metropolitan Chamber of Commerce last week voted unanimously to hire Mike Varney. Mr. Varney is currently the president and CEO of the North Las Vegas Chamber of Commerce. He will be replacing outgoing President Jack Camper. Mr. Camper served 32 years in that post. Mr. Varney, who begins his job June 1st, joins us now on the Buckmaster Show live line from the city of North Las Vegas, Nevada. Mr. Varney, thanks for being with us.
Well, good morning, Bill, and good morning, Tucson.
Well, congratulations to you taking over from Mr. Camper. Tell us, Mr. Varney, why you wanted this position.
Well, it's first of all, it's a wonderful city and a wonderful opportunity for me to take what I've done here in North Las Vegas and, frankly, before that, 9 years at the Las Vegas Chamber of Commerce, take some of those success formulas and deliver some fresh programming, some fresh ideas, and some innovations for the greater Tucson area, the business community there. And I'm just revved up and ready to go, and can't wait to arrive and start meeting some people and putting some of these new ideas in place.
As you know, earlier in my career, I spent about 8 years in the 70s at the NBC affiliate Radio and TV there in Las Vegas. I know a little bit about the Las Vegas area, and I know a little bit about the chamber there. And, of course, Las Vegas sort of sells itself, doesn't it?
It's got a pretty good brand, Bill. You're correct about that.
And so how does the brand now about Tucson, as you look at it, what do you see? What are some of the strengths and perhaps what are some of the weaknesses?
Well, as you might imagine, I've done a fair amount of homework, a lot of it anecdotal, but still looking just for people's reactions. The numbers are the numbers, but we've talked to, I would say, several dozen people who have either lived in Tucson or are living there now, and I'm getting back very, very favorable reviews on the community. The number one observation that people seem to give me is that it's a lot more laid back than Phoenix, so looking to downshift just a little bit because, as you know, Las Vegas is a fairly fast-paced community, so it'll be nice to downshift a little bit. I think there's so much about Tucson compared to Las Vegas and, frankly, compared to a lot of communities. It's got a very diversified economy, which in this kind of a economic environment is a good thing, not to be dependent on one industry the whims of that industry. If it's up, it's great. If it's down, it's not so great. It's good to see the diversification. I think the University of Arizona is a treasure for the community in any number of different ways. It's got a tremendous reputation. Talked to somebody yesterday who lives here and went to school at U of A. His parents still live in Tucson, and he spoke very highly of the community. I think as far as the business community goes, there isn't a city in the country, Bill, that does well if it does not have a strong business community. And I've been so impressed with the board of directors and the energy that they've exuded and the privileges that they've granted me. And we're going to be doing some planning here sometime soon to chart a course for the coming 12 months. And I'm pretty revved up about that. It sounds like we've got a great group of board members who are going to lend their expertise and their background. And I also want to just give big kudos to the board for hiring Bill Holmes. Bill is coming on next week, next Monday, as the Chief Operating Officer. I've had the pleasure of meeting Bill. He is not only a very nice person, but has a tremendous history there in the Tucson area, so he'll definitely be my tutor on relationships.
Yeah, Bill has a terrific reputation. He's been a Tucson banker for a long time. He knows all the players. Talking about our diversified economy, Mr. Varney, I often refer to it as a three-legged stool. You have Raytheon employing well over 10,000 people in high-paying jobs. You have Davis Mountain Air Force Base, a key component in the nation's defense system, and as you mentioned, the U of A. There's really that's quite a base to grow from, isn't it?
Sure. I would say so. And the other thing, I know that any destination in the Southwest has got a tourism component to it, simply because the climate is so appealing to so many people. So I don't want to overlook for a moment the impact of tourism. But tourism, in some cases, is driven by the discretionary dollar. And when the economy goes south, as it has here for the past few years, those discretionary dollars are a little harder for some people to come by. Our economy here is heavily tied to the discretionary dollar, so it has some pretty severe fluctuations up and down when the discretionary dollar is at a premium. So I think that you look around the Tucson area, while tourism is clearly a component of the economy, the Tucson area is not dependent only on the tourism dollar, and that's a good feeling.
Yeah, and I would add the tourism there to the fourth leg of my stool. When times have been better, it certainly is a very important. But like Las Vegas, tourism has really been hit here in southern Arizona.
Right.
Tucson board member Richard Underwood said that you, quote, blew his doors off during the interview. You came forward with a list of 20 ways to improve the Tucson Chamber, and you all but showed up with a five-year plan. Tell me about some of those 20 ways. Share with us some of your ideas.
Well, at the top of the list, and for good reason, is creating a robust portfolio of services to what I call super serve the small business community. We did that here in North Las Vegas with a resounding applause from our small business community here. The Tucson model of membership is much like the model of membership here in North Las Vegas, and frankly at a lot of chambers around the country. I know it's true at the Las Vegas Chamber of Commerce as well, that about 85% of the membership are small businesses. Small business being defined typically as 25 employees or fewer. And with 85% of your members being in that category, they're naturally very, very dependent on the organization for a number of different things, especially when the economy is not at its best. So we've put a program in place here, and I think we'll probably look at doing the same thing there in Tucson, that really reaches out to, listens to the small business community, and then responds with the programs and the products and the opportunities that the small business community is demanding. I'm not going to take our research that we did here and just apply it without input from the local community. I'm a marketing guy at heart, and I like to drive a lot of major decisions with research, which means just listening to the customer, in our case the member. So we'll be doing a lot of that. But the small business stimulus program that we put in place here in North Las Vegas was met very, very favorably by our small business members, and there are essentially four components to that. We came up with ways to help small businesses make money. We came up with ways to help small businesses save money and get connected to other people who can either serve as a partner in a buyer-seller relationship or as a source of referrals. And then the fourth component is a robust program of knowledge transfer, learning opportunities that are inexpensive or in some cases even free, so that the small business person can sharpen his or her edge and run a better company just by sharing ideas and gaining the knowledge that it takes to get that done. The other thing I would mention, and obviously we don't have time to go through all 20, but one of the things that good chambers do is they create a strong volunteer base. And every chamber I've worked with and every CEO I've talked to has said that there is a wealth of talent that's available and will readily volunteer if only given the chance and if only given the structure in which to provide their time and their resources. So we're going to take a look at broadening our volunteer base just a little bit, because we'll be only as strong as our volunteer members, and that's board members, that's committee members. We'll only be as strong as the membership of the chamber allows us to be. So we're going to do a lot of outreach in that area. Another area, and I'll just go three deep unless you'd like me to go deeper, Bill, but we need to be, as a business community, with as many businesses as we have and the number of employees that the Tucson Metro Chamber represents, the membership base represents, we need to be a factor in driving quality of life. Certainly, we would never think of ourselves as doing that alone, but the business community can be very, very influential in improving the quality of life for the whole community. I haven't ever been to a city where people said, well, I'm okay with average, I'm okay with things not being as well as they could be around here. Everybody wants to live in a beautiful city that works and works together, and we'll certainly have an agenda that is a community agenda that will help the entire community benefit from the strength and the resources that the business community can bring to the table.
We've only got about 90 seconds left with Mike Varney, currently president and CEO of the North Las Vegas, Nevada Chamber of Commerce, soon to be head of the Tucson Metropolitan Chamber of Commerce June 1st. So your timetable, you're going to make a couple more visits to the community before you arrive June 1st for good?
Well, the actual arrival time is still a little up in the air. I've got an 8-week termination or separation clause in my agreement here. So I'm going to let the board decide how many of those 8 weeks they want to use, but I will be in Tucson the 25th and 26th for some meetings, some planning sessions. I'm very much looking forward to that, Bill.
Well, we'll look forward to having you on our Friday Focus, where reporters from the local media get together and interview a newsmaker. Let's try to put that down for June when you're in town, Mr. Varney, and we want to wish you all the best of luck.
Well, thank you very much, Bill, and for all future opportunities that we get together, please use Mike.
Thanks a lot,
Thank
Mike.
Thank you so much.
Mike, thanks for being with us. Mike Varney, currently president and CEO of the North Las Vegas Chamber of Commerce, talking with us on the Buckmaster Show live line from Southern Nevada. And we're in Southern Arizona. We'll be back in a moment.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA Four Diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting, and you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore, casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson at North Swan and Cap Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA Four Diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting, and you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Imagine a jewelry store that is both sophisticated and organic, where Tucson's rich cultural heritage mingles with contemporary design. We invite you to Veer Jewelers, where our commitment to customer service is surpassed only by our reputation for creating inspired custom jewelry that is as unique as our customers. At Veer Jewelers, you are warmly welcomed, whether you are bringing in an heirloom for repair or design, replacing a watch battery, or shopping for a special gift. Visit our unique showroom, centrally located on Campbell, just north of Grant, or visit our website at veerjewelers.com. Veer Jewelers, Tucson's trusted jeweler for more than 25 years.
Coming up now on 21 Minutes Past the Hour, this is the Buckmaster Show and buckmastershow.com. I am Bill Buckmaster. Just in time to take the stress out of the tax season, Dr. Anne-Marie Chiasson, a recognized leader in the field of energy healing, will be launching her new home study kit titled Energy Healing, The Essentials of Self-Care at an event at Antigone Bookstore this Friday night at 7 o'clock at Antigone's location, 411 North 4th Avenue in Tucson. Dr. Chiasson is an assistant professor at the Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona, and that's the program that was started in 1997 by Dr. Andrew Weil. Dr. Chiasson, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
How did you get interested in the field of energy healing?
I got interested in energy healing when I was a kid, when I would find that I would want to place my hands on people who weren't feeling well. Before medical school then, I took a class in energy healing. And so when I went to medical school, there was really no difference for me between conventional medicine and energy medicine. They seemed like, you know, all part of the same pie. So when I was in medical school, I started scanning people with energy and then watching how the tests came back, and really enjoyed putting the two practices together, conventional medicine and energy medicine.
Because after all, Dr. Chiasson, we all have an energy field around us, correct?
Yes.
In us and around us. And can you, what are some of the benchmarks that you use when you're looking for the energy surrounding an individual?
With the energy surrounding an individual, I often will just feel it. So instead of seeing it, I'll feel it, and I'll feel how strongly things are. One of the things I notice is that experiences and feelings that we have suppressed or aren't conscious of are usually pretty far out in our energy field. So when you're walking up to somebody, the first things you pick up are the things that they really haven't wanted to talk about or deal with. And I'm sure you've had the experience getting on an elevator with somebody who's angry.
Yes.
You can feel that from
quite
far away.
No, you really can feel that anger and that kind of negative, that negative energy that comes out. Tell us about energy healing and these essentials of the self-care that you call kind of a new home study kit. What's in the kit?
The kit's got 5 CDs, so it has about 6 hours of audio programming. It has a DVD, so you can watch some of the practices. It has a book, so you can record your experiences and read about the different practices. And then it has a set of cards that you can take with you throughout the day if you want to throw a card in your bag or in your car and use the practices throughout the day. So it's quite a big package.
What message, what content is on the cards?
The cards have a mix of
different
teaching
messages.
Points. Yeah, so yeah. Different teaching points. Maybe it'll show you the chakra system or the Dantian system, plus different practices, meditations or movements that'll move energy.
Do you find there is less resistance to what you're talking about with energy healing from many of the conventional medical establishment? Is it becoming more open to what you're doing?
I think so. I think it's really a languaging problem. I think if we can get some of the New Age language out of something that's actually quite natural and happening all around us, then people accept it. I feel that older physicians have a much better ability to accept some of what we're talking about because they've had enough experience to know that they get a sense and that a lot of what they're working on is a sense. So it's really about opening the aperture instead of changing the aperture of the awareness.
What are some simple things that we can do? I try myself to do deep breathing in the morning and in the evening, at least 15 repetitions of deep breathing. I find that really kind of centers me. Are you a big advocate of the deep breathing and some of the exercises that Dr. Weil teaches?
Absolutely. I think the breath is probably the primary exercise. The other thing I like to do is use certain very simple movements or hand placement to augment the breath.
And give me an example.
One of my favorite activities is toe tapping, which is a very simple exercise where you lay flat on your back and you allow your legs to rotate in and out and tap your toes together. You can add that to a breath, and that will stimulate different traditional Chinese medicine centers. It'll stimulate energy in the bottom, in the lower half of your legs. It'll help with, you know, racing thoughts, insomnia, and it'll ground you the same way the breath will, but it actually adds an extra component by using movement at the same time. It's like doing a self-acupuncture treatment.
Because after all, we're all pretty stressed out, aren't we?
Yeah. I think we're in a time period of information overload.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a day in the 1900s would look very different than a day now. You know, we have a lot more information coming in, a lot more telephone, internet, light even. We have a lot more light, music, noise coming in than we used to. And I think that does stimulate the nervous system into what we call stress.
Are there some simple ways just to be more open to our energy field, to allow that field to be open to, I don't know, more positive thinking?
I think being present with the breath is the most important thing. And then starting to pitch your awareness to what you're feeling and the sensations in your body, not just what you're thinking in your head. I think the body is the tool to pick up the vibrational field. And as long as we start to pay attention to that, it becomes much easier to be open to what's happening around us.
Tell us about the event on Friday night. I know Dr. Steve Gerkovich, who was on this program a couple of weeks ago, talking about medical hypnosis, will be with you.
Mm-hmm.
Quickly running out of time, but go ahead.
The two of us will do a short experiential exercise and a presentation together for anyone who wants to come down to Antigone. We'll also do a book signing.
All right. That will be 7 o'clock, Antigone Bookstore, 411 North 4th Avenue in Tucson. That's this Friday night. Good people over at Antigone. And Dr. Shiasin, thank you for being with us.
Thanks
a lot. Thanks. We will be back coming up on the bottom of the hour on The Buckmaster Show. Jack Chalom, The Buckmaster Show contributor on nutrition, will be next on our program.
Local talk at its best.
Real talk. It's what this is.
AM 1330, KJLL, South Tucson.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. The State Department says an American man is detained in North Korea. The U.S. is working with the Swedish embassy to get the man released on humanitarian grounds. We'll find out shortly where space shuttles Discovery, Endeavour, and Atlantis will call home after they're retired. Museum of Flight President Doug King in Seattle says they've got their fingers crossed.
I think confident might be too strong a word. Hopeful is probably a better one. NASA put together a set of requirements for museums around the country to respond to. We think that we have responded positively.
The competition to get one of the shuttles has been very stiff. A woman in France was fined over $200 for violating a ban on Muslim face coverings. She's apparently the first person charged with violating the new law. Over 500 people at Cisco will lose their jobs. The company announced today it's giving up on Flip, the digital video camera company. The most trusted name in news. This is CNN Radio.
Honda has recently learned that our Really Big Thing sales event is causing some confusion. It seems a few people have gone to dealerships looking for the really big buttons from our TV commercials. Sorry, we don't have any big buttons, just really big deals on the full line of Hondas, including Odyssey, Pilot, and CR-V, and 0.9% APR financing for qualified buyers on a new Honda Accord or Civic. Hurry, the Really Big Thing is only here for a really short time.
See dealer for finance details. Ends May 2nd, 2011.
For contractors looking to cut costs, the Home Depot is a great place to start. Where right now, all special order Anderson windows and patio doors are 10% off. That's a nice price break on one of the most trusted names in windows, which means you can build with the best quality products and still lower your bids, which will help you win more business so you can grow a stronger one. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through April 20th, U.S. only.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
With 30 projects under construction, including work at La Cañada Drive and the First Avenue bus pullouts, the Regional Transportation Authority is delivering our promise to you already. RTA has completed 174 projects, including 5 major roadways, and launched transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars are creating jobs and making travel around our region faster and safer. Please be careful of workers in those areas and obey all traffic signs. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinka Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinka Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery on the corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub.
It is 35 minutes past the hour. This is the Buckmaster Show. Check us out on buckmastershow.com as well. Is exercise the missing nutrient in keeping your brain and body young? Well, we will explore that question and others with our Buckmaster Show contributor on nutrition. Jack Chalom is one of 24 regular contributors to the Buckmaster Show. The entire list is at buckmastershow.com. Jack Chalom is known as the nutrition reporter. He publishes a monthly newsletter under the same name. He is based here in Tucson. Jack Chalom is a personal nutrition coach. He is one of America's most trusted health writers. He's a member of the prestigious American Society for Nutrition and the best-selling author of more than 20 books. His latest book is titled No More Fatigue, The Complete Nutrition and Lifestyle Program, subtitled Why You're So Tired and What You Can Do About It. I think, Jack Chalom, first of all, good to see you. I think many of us can relate to the fatigue question.
Good morning, Bill. Yeah, especially for those early risers who would rather not be early risers.
What's the deal with some people that say, I'm just not a morning person or I'm an evening person? Is it just some kind of a different metabolism, or is it something they're doing that they should be doing to change that?
It could be a number of things. For some people, it's just the nature of their body clock. For others, it could be not being a morning person could be a sign of prediabetes because they ate food too late the night before, their blood sugar is still up. And they wake up because of the alarm, but they're still feeling wiped out. Another medical issue could be adrenal exhaustion. People with this disorder tend to do better in the evenings and they get a second wind. But kind of like as a human species, we're really diurnal creatures, and we tend to do better mornings and afternoons and then go on a sort of slope in the evening towards sleep.
I like your books, Jack. I sat down with No More Fatigue, and I think I read it in one sitting because there's such great information in there. Why did you choose the topic of fatigue for this time around? And by the way, this book is in hardback form. It's in all the bookstores. It's on Amazon.com. It's published by a prestigious author, our publishing house, John Wiley and Sons.
Well, the reason I tackled this topic is because so many people say they're tired all the time, and they really over-caffeinate themselves to just keep going. And
boy, I know a few people like that. Rose says, as I look toward Rose, our lovely producer, no, you don't drink that much coffee.
If you really need to use stimulants, legal or illegal, to keep going during the day, it's really not a good sign. Something is out of balance. And the paradigm I've created in the book is what I call the five circles of fatigue. And these are really five causes. And the first one begins with stress. And that throws us off balance. That starts to affect the other circles of fatigue, how we eat, the types of things we drink, and in terms of coffee, soft drinks that give us an up, but they also bring us down. The stress also, and poor diet, affects our hormone levels, our adrenal hormones, which are our stress hormones. In many people, our thyroid hormones. If your thyroid activity is low, you're going to feel more sluggish. The fourth circle relates to chronic illness. For example, you don't see cancer patients with boundless energy. And this is typical of anyone with any kind of chronic disease process. And the fifth circle is really the aging process. Energy levels do decrease as we get older. Of course, there are exceptions, but that's the general trend.
And there are things, and you point them out, we can do to change some of that general trend, especially with the aging, correct?
That's right. And, eating more protein. Most seniors are not consuming enough protein to even maintain their muscle. Staying hydrated. Water is very, very important in just in general health, but also in energy production. A little bit of moderate exercise, and this doesn't mean going to a gym. Just going for a daily walk can make all the difference.
And let's segue to the April issue of the Nutrition Reporter. That is Jack Chalom's trademarked name of his monthly newsletter, and that I mentioned it as in the introduction, is exercise the missing nutrient in keeping your brain and body young?
Yeah, I put nutrient in quotes just to try to attract attention and to get people thinking that this really is as important as vitamins and minerals and water in maintaining overall health. And there have been a couple of recent studies that show just moderate increases in physical activity have huge health benefits. And I think everyone understands the physical benefits, but these studies focused on brain benefits. And the size of the hippocampus, which is an important part of the brain involved in memory, actually increased among people who were engaged in moderate physical activity, whereas those who basically were couch potatoes, their brain volume decreased. And so the benefits really are broad, very, very important for maintaining a healthy seniorhood.
There you go. Vitamin D, we hear a lot about the benefits of it. One of your articles says, latest vitamin D suggestions shifting towards some larger amounts. The daily recommendation is a very small 600 IU daily from the U.S. Institute of Medicine.
Yeah, a couple of the top researchers on vitamin D in this country and the world really looked at the details of how much vitamin D people need to take to increase their blood levels of the vitamin. And there are certainly exceptions to this guideline because some people are very efficient absorbers of vitamin D. But for the most part, they found that people needed about 10,000 IU a day to maintain healthy blood levels. What's interesting is people think in southern Arizona, oh, we've got so much sunshine here, we don't need this much vitamin D.
Right.
But the studies show that people here are spending either just as much time indoors as they do in New York City, or they're just lathering up with sunscreen when they go outside, so they are not absorbing the UV to make vitamin D. One of the recommendations, if you do want to just get vitamin D through sun exposure, is go out for about 10 minutes, no sunscreen, just till you start to feel your skin tingle. Go back inside, put on the sunscreen at that point if you're going to spend more time outdoors.
Just kind of get an initial hit.
Exactly.
And El Sol.
Yeah, and El Sol will help you in that 10 minutes make about 10,000 IU of vitamin D.
You're chocked full of great information in the Nutrition Reporter. Zinc lozenges do reduce cold symptoms. Magnesium, helpful in improving sleep. Omega-3 fish oils ease depression in seniors. I think we've only got about a minute left with Jack Chalom. Where can folks, how do they get a hold of the Nutrition Reporter?
Go to my website, nutritionreporter.com. I've got a bonus for listeners. All of my 2010 issues are up there as PDFs for free downloads. People will find excerpts from all of my recent books, links to Amazon if they want to order the books. A lot of great stuff. Most of it is free.
And the book is called No More Fatigue by Jack Chalom, and the foreword is by Dr. Ron Honeyhockey. Honeyhockey. Huh. Well, he said some very nice things about you in the foreword.
Yeah, Ron's a...
I butchered his name, but he says...
Ron's a good friend, okay. And He is head of the largest nonprofit nutritional medicine clinic in the country, ReardonClinic.org.
Okay, Jack Chalom, always good to see you, and we'll see you soon. Thanks.
Thank you, Bill.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinca Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinca Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinca Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tinca Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Tucson's Regional Transportation Authority uses your tax dollars to create jobs and make local travel faster and safer. Transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle and the completion of 5 major roadways are examples of how RTA is delivering on our promises to you. With 174 projects completed and 30 under construction, such as the First Avenue bus pullouts and La Cañada Drive, RTA wants to remind you to be careful of road workers and to obey all traffic signs. RTA, delivering our promises to you.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson community. Our thrift shop donations and sales provide more than half of needed funding, which goes to programs like Operation School Bell. Since its inception, Operation School Bell has provided clothing and school supplies for more than 38,000 children. But we need your help. Donate an item or a financial gift. Shop our thrift store or volunteer. For more information on how you can make a difference, visit AssistanceLeagueTucson.org.
Coming up now on 49 minutes past the hour, this is the Tuesday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Well, long-term plans to expand the East Concourse at Tucson International Airport are being delayed. That decision was made last week by the Board of Directors of the Tucson Airport Authority. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line, Dick Grunzel, the Chief Financial Officer for the Tucson Airport Authority, and Jill Merrick is with us. She is the Tucson Airport Authority Vice President for Planning and Development. Dick and Jill, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
Jill, let's begin with you. Why the decision to put on hold that East Concourse expansion?
As an airport, we certainly want to continue to plan for the future. The decision, though, is based on the most efficient and the most practical timing here. And over the past several years, we've seen a cyclical environment and not in common to other industries here. We've been obviously responding to the recession, and we've, over the last 2 to 3 years, seen a reduction in both operations and passengers. So specifically as it relates to the concourse expansion and the growth of our airlines, we are optimistic about the future, and we will plan and certainly support the airline activity for years to come. At this point in time, though, the demand is not there. So essentially, we're putting the project on hold until the numbers are more favorable.
Dick Runsell, give us an update on how do those passenger counts look for us at TIA?
Well, for 2010, we were up about 3% in our passengers compared to the previous year. After the spike in oil prices back in 07 and 08, and then the recession which followed that, we seem to at least kind of bottomed out and seem to be on a slow track upward. So far this year, we're about even, just in the last couple of months. We don't have our March numbers yet, but we seem to be kind of following a kind of just a slow growth, pattern at this point.
Jill Merrick, the terminal optimization study that has been going on, give us an update on that.
Well, certainly. With our existing concourses, we currently have 20 gates and a lot of space within the existing facility. So our approach with this optimization study, as we're referring to it, is to maximize utilization of the facilities that we have in place today before we add on and invest in the future. And all the functionalities within the concourse, we're looking at the concessions program, we're looking at terminal usage and the baggage. We're also looking at some of the basic functionality behind the scenes, a lot of the infrastructure. And then also some security-related items, the TSA-managed checkpoints and the baggage handling. And essentially, the purpose of this study is to focus on the functionality in our terminal complex and maximize the utilization as best we can, looking at today's business, looking at today's market, looking at some business decisions and some guiding factors over the next couple of years. But the goal is to make the most efficient use of the facilities we have in place today.
So I was out at the airport last week picking up my wife from a business trip. The airport looks great. I mean, I think you're at kind of a point here where there's really no construction going on right now. Is that right, Jill?
That's true. And thank you for that. And we invested, and it actually was completed 3 years ago in 2008, in a similar theme here, the new aesthetics, the new carpeting, the new countertops, all that was part of a renovation project. And so we're kind of continuing to build on that theme. And we've got the space, and again, we made that recent investment, so we're continuing with that.
Nice little amenities like folks playing music at the baggage handling area, a state-of-the-art screen for those who are waiting for someone coming in that shows exactly where the flight is, the exact time of its arrival. Really neat stuff. Dick, let's bring you in, Dick Runsell. Air Service, American Eagle Airlines, launching the new daily nonstop service to L.A. on April the 5th. We talked with you in January, I think it was, when this was first announced. This is really a big deal because American, as we know from Tucson, usually goes west to east. So this time they're going to the west.
That's right. I mean, and we have a lot of loyal American customers here in Tucson, since American was the first airline to start regular passenger service in Tucson back in 1927, believe it or not. And for a lot of those travelers, it's really a great opportunity for them to keep their frequent flyers on American, and now they can much more easily go west to other West Coast destinations, just besides LAX, as well as places like Hawaii, Shanghai, China, which American just started a flight from LAX to Shanghai, as well as other destinations in the Pacific and the Orient.
You have U.S. Airways adding two nonstops to Phoenix last month. Those are on regional jet aircraft. That brings the total now of U.S. Airways flights to 12, so you're getting a very respectable number there. And any other news as far as air service, or is this kind of a period of let's wait and see?
Well, I guess one other good thing that's happened also is Delta, which has had two flights a day to Atlanta for quite a few years. Due to the great results on that flight and the demand, recently last month upgraded both of those flights to Boeing 757 aircraft, which added somewhere in the range of 30 to 35 extra seats compared to the planes that they were using before. But over the last several months, as I'm sure comes to no news to people who've traveled, the oil prices have resulted in a lot of fare increases by the airlines, and as a result of that, what had been just even modest seat capacity increase plans for the airlines, a lot of them have been most of the airlines, in fact, have been cutting those plans, especially on domestic routes. So a lot of them now are actually forecasting to decrease nationwide the number of seats that they're offering to sell, and so that's that kind of environment is what we're facing as well, just like everyone else in the country.
We're talking with Dick Runzel. He's the Chief Financial Officer of Tucson International Airport and the Airport Authority, and Jill Merrick is with us. She's the TIA and TAA Vice President for Planning and Development. Jill, let's bring you back into the conversation. The master plan looks good, and everything seems to be full speed ahead for, the next 10 years at least for TIA?
Yes, Bill. Actually, we remain positive and optimistic with the outlook in front of us. And the master plan for TIA, it's a program that we update typically every 5 to 7 years. And this is the big picture look for our airport and our ability to support the aviation community. And it's exciting because we look at all facets of our business, everything from the commercial to the private pilots, what we refer to as general aviation. We have a large military presence here to support the military. And then we've got the freight and cargo element. And then we've got the land use piece of it as well in our opportunity to be a good neighbor and promote compatibility. So a lot of details behind the scene, but again, we're really excited because it's our big picture look. And as part of the process, we just kicked off the program. It'll be ongoing for about 18 months, a little over a year and a half. And we actually focus on the next 5 years, but we look towards the 20-year vision. And a big part of the process is working with our stakeholders, everything from our tenants on airport, again, representing all lines of business, as well as our neighbors. We tout ourselves as being, a good neighbor and tout our good neighbor programs. The business community will be a very vital process, part of the process. Again, we want to look to grow our business. We want to expand the opportunities to support the aviation community. And then other interested parties and other agencies. So it's a very in-depth process, and we're excited for it here.
Jill Merrick, thank you for joining us, but I'm going to bring Dick in for one more question because we're quickly running out of time. As you know, Dick, I'm a huge advocate of flying out of Tucson. I think everyone should support the local airport. It doesn't make sense to drive up to Phoenix. Usually the price isn't that much different, correct?
That's correct. Airfares really are generally pretty close between Tucson and Phoenix, and when you add in the extra cost of driving, much more expensive parking, and just the hassle factor, Tucson, generally comes out on top in terms of the best deal.
Dick Runzel, thank you very much. He's the Chief Financial Officer at TIA. And Jill Merrick, thank you very much for planning and development out there at TIA. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Okay, we're going to wrap it up here for the Buckmaster Show, but after we tell you, gladly, that the Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates Certified Public Accountants. Give Mike Flowers a call. Good friend of the Buckmaster Show. He is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show and the Buckmaster Show on buckmastershow.com. We will be back tomorrow. Have a great day.
Let's do it.
This is Tucson's Jolt.
It's strange and wonderful.
You have a firm grasp of the obvious.
KJLL, South Tucson.